You're listening to a High Voltage Radio Network podcast. Find more at highvoltageradio.com.
This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes!
That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. Down with the
King for years, about 10 of them. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports program produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I'm your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime, Marcus. Damn, Comey. In November, you was the man, Comey. What the fuck happened to you? Vandenberg, how you doing this week, brother?
What's up, Nate? How you doing?
I am doing well, enjoying, I guess you could say this is kind of our purge period in America. Since we don't have a FBI director, we can get up into all sorts of crimes and hijinks.
You still black, right?
You saying that'll impact my plans?
That doesn't apply to us. Damn. We live a different set of rules here.
Damn, because I was planning to transmit all sorts of baseball games without the express written consent of Major League Baseball. I was going to return videotapes to a Blockbuster that don't exist without rewinding. It's going to be a one-man crime spree.
How is that a crime, by the way?
That's a good question.
The whole rewind rule.
I think, and like I don't know why it's a crime, but I think the actual reason that they wanted you to rewind tapes back in the day was because, for whatever reason, if the tape was all the way rewound, the actual tape inside the video cassette would last longer. As opposed to, like, if say you watching Clash of the Champions 89 and you just stop it at the end of the show and don't rewind, I guess because you didn't rewind, there's more likelihood of the tape degrading quicker.
Maybe because it's more exposed, because it's, I don't know. If we have any VHS experts out there in 2017,
yeah,
please let us know why we had to, besides from just it being, you know, the right thing to do in terms of the next
person. I mean, yeah, it is courteous.
Like, yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's the worst, when you pop in a tape and
you get like the sixth sense and you're already at the end. You're like, damn.
Yeah.
He was dead the whole time. Spoiler alert. Oh, man. But yeah, this is it's going to be a fun show this week. We might be a little bit more brief than usual because I've been working all weekend and I'm tired, and I'm sure.
And it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
And it's Mother's Day. So yeah, we will end the show with our customary Mr. T musical tribute to all the mothers out there. But yeah, I think because usually we end up either recording right before or right after Mother's Day.
Yeah.
But today, just so happened, we ended up recording on Mother's Day. So, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Going to get into some NBA here in the A block. And then we got a couple interesting stories for segment four. So, Marcus, I guess let's start with the NBA and let's start in the West, because we are just hours, if that, removed from one of the most epic collapses in NBA Conference Finals history, as the Golden State Warriors coughed up a 25-point lead the other way around. The San Antonio Spurs coughed up a 25-point lead to the Golden State Warriors, and now we're down 0-1 in the Conference Finals. Marcus, what did you make of the game that we just watched this evening?
I mean, you can tell when it shifted. It's Kawhi gets hurt. Can't come back this time. And next thing you know, 18-0 run which eventually leads to a fourth quarter where Golden State takes the lead and holds on in the end. But do you think the play? it needs a nickname now, because this might be the turning point in the series.
Yeah.
With Zaza Pachulia and Kawhi Leonard, where Kawhi stepped on the foot. Or
yeah, I don't know if this was as blatant
on his ankle. I don't know, but
yeah, I don't know if this was as blatant as when Jalen Rose did it to Kobe Bryant back in the day. But it was certainly effective, whether it was intentional or not. Because yeah, after that, they couldn't get anything going. And the LaMarcus Aldridge that we saw eliminate the Rockets the other night was not able to do the same thing against these Warriors. So, I mean, credit to the Spurs. Like, they choked. They coughed up the lead. But the, like, there were so many new Spurs out there. You know, Anderson was out there. Who was the other kid? Simmons.
Jonathan Simmons.
Simmons was out there, and they, you know, they played pretty well. Like, I think they actually played better than some of the veterans down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned new Spurs, and I think that's – this is not your father's Spurs team. They are a little more athletic than usual, especially off the bench. And I think they are going to, if they haven't already, sort of missed the presence of Tony Parker. Because your man Patty Mills – he's a very good backup point guard. He's not someone I want to rely on for 40 minutes a night in the playoffs, especially doing it against Steph Curry and crew. So that, I think that's a flaw. I think LaMarcus, you know, you mentioned the Houston series. He's someone who I think is used to being the ball first guy. By the way, we're watching this Yankee game. It's now 6-0, 8. They hit a grand slam.
Take that on Jeter. Derek G tonight.
First inning, 6-0. So I'm glad they enjoyed the retirement ceremony at least. but anyways, I think LaMarcus used to being a, you know, ball first guy, and I think he, you know, with Kawhi out in that closeout game, LaMarcus was the man again, and I think we saw in Portland, LaMarcus has no problem being the man. He can effectively score when he's the man. Now, can you win with LaMarcus as your number one? Probably not. But for whatever reason, he plays.
Definitely not against this team, not against the Warriors.
Not against the Warriors. I mean, he finished with 28. He was fine. He had a lot of turnovers, which wasn't great.
Yeah, I think that to me was the most telling thing. Like, LaMarcus was getting his offense, but late in the game, when after Kawhi went out, and you saw the defense ratchet up from the Warriors, he had too many times where it was either a turnover or he bobbled the ball and wasn't able to get set in the offense. And it's like, I'm not going to say he was the reason they lost, because there was a factor of things. It was a team effort. But he needed to come up bigger in the clutch.
He did. And I'm not sure if that was nerves or that was just a bad night. I'm not sure. But, yeah, it was not ideal for the. I mean, listen, that was a team collapse in that second half. You can't,
yep,
road or away, you can't let a team come back from 25 down like that and lose, especially when you know you're going against the Warriors. You need to steal a game if possible on their court, and to have the game in your grasp like that, it that's a kid to the balls right there. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you come back from this.
I see what you did there, Dre. but we were talking before we turned on the microphones today. Like, this to me, it's hard to say a series is over after one game, but to me, the series is over, because if you go in and you steal the first game in the fashion that they were winning it with Kawhi, if Kawhi didn't get hurt, I think they win the game. I think they win it convincingly. And you change the tenor. You change the tone of the series. But now, with a Kawhi that we don't know if he's going to come back, and if he does, what shape he's going to be in when he comes back, how effective he can be, I think it's over, man. Like, they might get one or two games, but I don't see it going any longer than six games.
Yeah, I mean, this was a pretty much a two-man effort by the Warriors. It was the Steph and Durant show. And you would think, you know, if you hold Klay Thompson to 6 points, that's usually a win for the team, but you're not going to hold Klay to 6 points a night in this series.
No.
And speaking of Kawhi, he said after the game that he could not play in the fourth, he had too much pain, and he isn't sure about game two at the moment. Game two is on Tuesday. I would be surprised if he's able to play. And if he does play, he won't be effective. So they do get an extra couple days off before game three. So game three is not until next Saturday. So I think if you're the Spurs and you're Popovich, you sort of have to take a mulligan on game two and try to hope to get Kawhi healthy 6 days from now.
Yeah, and that's why this would have been such a great win if they were able to pull it out, because they could have allowed Kawhi to rest in game two. But now, you're up against the wall, because the one thing Kawhi does that I think none of the other Spurs outside of maybe Manu, and Manu is old and can only do it in spurts, the one thing Kawhi brings is the ability to create his own shot. Mm-hmm. And that was sorely lacking in that third and fourth quarter, man. Like, it was so many sets where it didn't look like the Spurs, Marcus. You know, this is one of the best coach teams in the league, one of the most disciplined teams. They always make the extra pass, but it felt like when it came time, like after two or three passes, when it's time to shoot the shot, nobody wanted to shoot the shot.
Yeah.
It's like they like Patty Mills is like, hey, man, this ain't what I do, baby. I don't shoot. I just pass. And then LaMarcus is like, hey, I shoot, but I don't shoot all the time. Let me kick it out to Manu. And Manu's like, hey, man, I'm 54 years old. I can't keep bailing y'all out. So, yeah, I think had Kawhi not gotten injured, they probably would have won and we would have a series for the ages. But now I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it's going to be that difficult for Golden State to make another trip to the finals, Marcus.
It gets bad to Golden State, you think, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say just on professional pride, it gets back to Golden State, and the Spurs are able to, you know, pick up. Like I said, I think they pick up one, maybe two, but I don't see them pushing it to a game seven.
I'm going to go five.
I was going to say, it wouldn't surprise me if the Spurs went out with the gentleman sweep now.
Yeah, I'm going to go five. And listen, if the Warriors do wrap up after five, they will have some downtime before the finals start June 1st regardless. So even if both teams sweep, they're not moving it up. So I don't think downtime has hurt the Warriors. Well, I don't know. They did look a little off in the first quarter. I'm not sure that was because...
Yeah, they looked a little out of sync.
Yeah, but hey, listen, if both teams are out of sync in game one of the finals, then it's more of an even playing field. But yeah, I'm going to say five.
Okay, yeah. I tend to agree. I'll go ahead and say six just to get the Spurs and Pop a little bit more respect. But either way, Golden State's headed back to the finals. And I had mentioned it on our Twitter feed, at CosPod, KOS_POD. Like, every championship team needs a bit of luck, but doesn't it always seem, Marcus, the Warriors get, like, the best luck at the perfect time?
It's funny how that works.
Like, the first run, they faced a Cavaliers team that was missing a bunch of people, and they didn't have to play who was it that was injured in the opening rounds of the Western Conference playoffs? Was it Portland that they didn't have to face without Lillard?
Of this series or the first time?
Of the first time they went to the finals.
Wasn't the first time the Clippers? Wasn't someone hurting the Clippers and they?
It was the Clippers without Chris Paul.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yep, and then
yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, not taking anything away from the Warriors. I'm just saying, it's just things that make you go, hmm.
A lot of shade there, Nate.
Oh, don't worry. I got more later on. But let's switch over to the East real quick, Marcus, where the Cleveland Cavaliers are waiting for their opponent in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's going to be either the Wizards or the Celtics, which,
by the way,
they are.
They couldn't wrap this up on Sunday?
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, why couldn't they just play two games today? Like, why do we have to stretch this out into Monday?
I mean, do you do like 12:30 and you can do Warriors Spurs at like 5 Pacific? Like, why are you stretching this out?
Man, like, because the NBA is like, come on, man. You want us to take one night when we can get two nights out of this?
Well, I mean, this happens all the time. We're going to have Warriors Spurs be two games in their series before Cavs versus TBD has started yet. So,
I guess the good thing is I don't see Boston or Washington sticking around too long in the finals.
I have faith in the Celtics.
Oh, and I know that's going to make Jermaine mad because he's out here trying to slander the LeBron James good name in these streets.
Why?
Because, you know, I don't know why, but for whatever reason, last week, the Jordan LeBron thing got kicked back up.
Oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
I missed that conversation.
It's a hot argument that's been simmering and boiling for the last 5 or 6 years.
Jermaine, there's only one MJ. Don't be so insecure about your boy that you need to worry about LeBron, what he's doing. You're right. He's good. No one's touching Jordan. You're fine.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the argument, but yeah, Michael has he's secured his place.
He is so secure. He wears bad jeans and Hanes. Like, he's good.
He wore a Hitler mustache in the commercials. That's how secure he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, like everybody else is just fighting for second place. But back to the Wizards and the Celtics, real quick. The Wizards won the last game 92-91. It was a great game. And I saw so many people comment over the weekend that John Wall has arrived, which, as somebody that lives in the Mid-Atlantic area and has access to a lot of Wizards game on TV, I'm like, where y'all been? There's no real difference from this John Wall than the John Wall of 2 or 3 years ago. It's just the team's performing.
Well, I mean, part of that's on John Wall. If you're the leader of the team, you gotta get your team to the playoffs.
I mean, I think it's just taking this long to get Bradley Beal's head screwed on straight.
No, I mean, Bradley, when he's healthy, he's been fine. It's been
when he's healthy and he's got the good attitude, because Bradley Beal, and I know, you know, you're not here in the Beltway, Marcus. You don't understand this type of stuff. But it's been a power struggle with all the headlines, like in the Washington Post and online. Drama erupts in Wizards locker room because Bradley Beal and John Wall supposedly can't get along.
Oh, yeah, they're not boys. Know. Yeah. It's more of a Marcus Alfred relationship than a Marcus Nick relationship.
I was just going to say, you know, when when you have, you know, two opinionated brothers, you know, sometimes, well, what Kevin Hart's daughter saying that one joke, someone had to go. But yeah, I think it's a couple things. Like, Beal's been healthy, and I think he's matured a bit. I think that John Wall, he's improved, but I don't think it's this massive, like, he was at one level, now he's at another level. I think the improvement's been gradual over the last, you know, 3-4 seasons.
I mean, the knock about John Wall has been two things. One, he's out of control at times. He's got to slow down. The other knock about John Wall, which he has improved on, was his shooting. And that was one of his big flaws, was you could play him where you let him take the 20-footer. He wasn't going to make it. But he has worked on his three-point shooting. It was a three-pointer that forced a game 7. Against the Celtics. So now, I mean, I think, let's just say the Wizards don't win on Monday. If you're looking at this team, I think you sort of know where the improvements need to come from. I am not buying Markieff Morris as your, as I mentioned, starting forward.
No.
I think Otto Porter will be there. He's getting there. He really improved this season. And I am pro Dortat. I think Dortat does what he's supposed to. He's a serviceable center in the league. So I think they need to improve at the forward spot. If they can find a legitimate power forward to come play with John Wall, Bradley Beal, I think they're right there.
Yeah. I think, you know, Gortat is maybe one of the few remaining kind of old school centers.
Mm-hmm.
I really like what he does. I thought, you know, when they had him and Nene for a few seasons, that was a good 1-2 punch, and he's stepped up his game now that Nene's in Houston, and I've still got some shade for Houston here in a little bit. But I like this team. I don't think they have what it takes to beat a Cleveland, but to that point, I don't think many teams in the East have what it takes right now to beat a Cleveland.
Yeah, the only teams that are really going to beat Cleveland is themselves. If they don't show up,
yeah,
or if they have whatever issues they had earlier to close out the regular season appear again, then they're in trouble. But otherwise,
or like Isaiah Thomas, if the Celtics get there, would have to play out of his mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't see Cleveland sweeping either team in the next round. And I think Boston would be a long shot to pull that upset. I think they have a better shot than Washington, to be honest. So we'll see what happens in Game 7, assuming that Boston does win on Monday.
Yeah, we'll see about that game. But real quick, we mentioned the Houston game, Marcus Vandenberg. Game 6, where the San Antonio Spurs eliminated the Houston Rockets and MVP candidate James Harden. That game was not very MVP-like, was it, brother?
It was bizarre.
Yes.
That's a good description of it. I don't know what was going on with him. Those are one of those games where you find out 6 weeks from now that Harden was in the middle of something with a teammate, or there was a fight, or some spouse issues. Because that just seemed bizarre. I mean, you know, the key factor that something was off was he only took 11 shots, and he fouled out, which is weird on itself. I don't know. I just felt like he didn't want to be there. And I don't know why, yeah. Considering Kawhi was out, you would figure, hey, at least force it to a game 7 and then lose then. But it's like he sort of gave up in his mind before the game.
And the Rockets only scored 75 points. San Antonio scored 114. Aldridge had his best game of the postseason, he had 34 points and 12 boards, and they were just outmatched, like just beaten up inside and out. And Houston just, like, it was a done deal at halftime. It just felt like you could feel when a team kind of gives up the ghost, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like Houston was just like, you know what? What's that old Nick Van Exel chant?
Cancun.
1-2-3 Cancun. That's what it sounded like the Rockets were saying.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockets offense is what got them here. But of those 6 games, there were 3 games where they didn't crack 100 points. So you can sort of live by that style in the regular season. But in the end, if you face a team with a great defense, then it's a wrap. It doesn't matter how many points you score if you can't crack this code. So, yeah, I don't know. I was someone who was starting to buy in on D'Antoni and the Rockets this year, and James Harden, and to see them end like that left a bad taste in my mouth. I don't know what's going on with them.
Yeah. I don't either, but I think I might know somebody who might have an idea, Marcus.
Who's that?
It's our special correspondent. I guess he's been requested on Twitter and on the Facebook page. So I'm going to secede my last few minutes here in this segment to our sports correspondent from the Hotep Nation. And maybe he can give us some info, Marcus.
Uh-oh.
So hold on, brothers, because Houston, we have a problem. Yes, we do. Now, brother Marcus, where do they play basketball? On what surface?
The court?
The court. The court, brother. Think about that. Put that in your mind real quick. Because the court is a place where black men find it hard to win. Who was the team that beat the Rockets, Marcus?
The Spurs.
The Spurs, spell it backwards. S-R-U-P-S. Syrup. Anytime you play the white man's game, it's a sticky situation, brother. So they play in the white man's game, in the white man's court. They bound to lose, Marcus. You got to read the signs, brother.
Wow. I mean, since you spelled it out that way, I mean, I was all confused. The white man had me confused, huh?
You got to stay woke, brother. Keep your third eye open.
He clouded my judgment.
You haven't been eating your yams lately, have you?
I have not, no.
I'm going to need you to do that, brother, because we've got so much treachery and wickedness to uncover as we continue through these playoffs. So I'm glad he could share some insight. We'll have to get him like an intro next time. Maybe some imaging.
What will the intro be?
Had to be something super, super black, super yeah. Duper black. So I'm assuming some tribal drums.
Yeah, drums.
Spark some incense and put on your kente cloth. Talk about how women's reproductive systems aren't right because they're not drinking the right juices.
Oh, boy. On that note.
On that note. Oh, yeah. But that's the NBA playoffs. That's our look at what's going on in the association. And we'll have more thoughts once the next round gets going in both conferences. But until then, I guess we'll take a break, Marcus, and I'll let you think about what our Hotepian brother broke down. And I'm going to go in and pray for Kawhi Leonard's ankle.
All right, you do that.
So don't you guys and girls go anywhere. Stick and stay. We've got more Kings of Sport right after this. My left stroke just went viral. Right stroke put a baby in a spiral. Soprano C, we like to keep it on the high note. It's levels to it, you and I know. Bitch, be humble. Hold up, bitch. Sit down. Be humble. Hold up, bitch. Sit down. Bitch, sit down.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Sit down. Be humble. Sit down. Be humble. Bitch, sit down. Be humble.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, we got to give you what you want. We got to give you what you need. And what you want and need is ratchetness in a full dosage. And so that's why we have segment 4, our weekly repository of ratchetness, where we bring you crazy stories from the world of sports or entertainment or just pop culture in general. And Marcus and I break them down and give our thoughts and opinions on them. And hopefully you'll be entertained and maybe even enlightened. So, Marcus, we have two big stories for the people this week. And the first one, I believe, involves everyone's favorite game show host / talk show host / suit proprietor / romance advice magnet /
Republican.
Republican, none other than Steve Harvey.
You man, Steve Harvey, Nate. By now, you've heard about this letter, I'm assuming.
Yes, I have.
Let's run through this letter real quick. This was a memo he sent to the staff of his talk show that somehow shockingly got out to the media. He starts.
See, I told you. See what happens when James Comey ain't around to keep these leaks in house.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. All right. So, yeah, that's cool.
So very far, cordial.
Very cordial. Very friendly. Next line. I'd like you all to review and adhere to the following notes and rules for season 5 of my talk show. All right. Well, maybe these are serious rules if he's going to put this in a memo. That's fine. There will be no meetings in my dressing room. No stopping by or popping in. All caps, no one. All right. Maybe Tyrone was coming by a little too much last season. You know, he had to cut that out. That's fine. That's fine. Do not come to my dressing room unless invited. All right. Well, I mean, you're the boss. So, all right. I guess. Do not open my dressing room door. If you open my door, expect to be removed. Maybe Steve Dot Shorty's in there. I don't know. Maybe he does something going on. I don't know. Who knows? That's his life. My security team will stop everyone from standing at my door who have the intent to see or speak to me. I want all the ambushing to stop now. That includes TV staff. All right, that's just fucking
stop
rude.
Stop ambushing me.
Who's the security? Who's the Steve Harvey security team?
It's got to be his personal squad because he made a point to say my security staff.
Not our security staff. Not your right. Security staff. My security staff.
Oh, he's probably got like 5 buff cock diesel brothers in perfectly fitting colorful suits.
You joke, but there is a side note here. There was a time when Steve Harvey came and spoke when I was in the Magic Johnson Foundation. He came and spoke one summer and, you know, gave us his whole motivational speech. But he did not come alone. He did come with, like, a team of people that resembled, what's the best way to describe it? Because they were suited up. I mean, they were like, like if the Black Panthers had like suits, like they had, like the Black Panthers had like a clothing budget.
Right.
That's who he was rolling with. So he had.
Like, so he looked. They looked like the Black Panthers on Easter Sunday.
Yeah, he had. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. They weren't like flashy. Well, there was like one brown striped suit, but there wasn't like pastel and stuff like that. But,
okay.
He had muscle, and this was like a good 10 years. This was like before Steve Harvey was Steve Harvey now.
So is like post Kings of Comedy, but pre like this Steve Harvey.
Pre talk show, pre Family Feud, pre radio show, I believe even. So I'm like, why are you? You're only Steve Harvey. Like, where are you going? Like, you're coming to talk to college kids. Are you threatened by us? So, all right, back to this note.
I mean, were you guys in Englewood?
No, we were by the airport. We were in Englewood, but we were Black.
Okay, I'm just saying, like. Englewood, you told me Englewood is not the easiest of neighborhoods.
No, there's far worse though than Englewood. Englewood's a little gentrified. I mean, the Rams and Chargers would move there if it was that bad. So, all right, you must schedule an appointment. I have been taken advantage of by my lenient policy in the past. This ends now. No more.
Gotta put his foot down.
Do not approach me while I'm in the makeup chair unless I ask to speak with you directly. Either knock or use the doorbell. I am seeking more.
Time out. flat, the doorbell. 20-second timeout. His dressing room has a doorbell?
You got to step your dressing room game up, Nate.
And it's not like a trailer, like it's attached to the building and he's got a doorbell?
Ding dong. Oh, I wonder who it could be.
Right. I wonder if he has like the doorbell camera security system where you can just look out and see who's ringing the doorbell.
That would be pretty fly.
It's like, sorry, I can't talk to you right now. I'm getting my head buffed.
I am seeking more free time for me throughout the day. Do not wait in any hallway to speak to me. I hate being ambushed. Please make an appointment.
You said that ambush word twice now.
I promise you I will not entertain you in the hallway. And do not...
Now, see, okay, another 20-second timeout. Because I know you are a learned man, Marcus Vandenberg, and words have different meanings. So does he mean in this case, entertain as in have an audience with you? Or entertain as telling jokes and singing and dancing?
I think he means I won't even acknowledge your presence, but it comes off. I'm not gonna. Right. I'm not gonna shuck and jive for you.
I'm not gonna shuck and jive for you.
Yeah.
Who do you think I am, Brodus Clay?
And do not attempt to walk with me. So the whole walk and talk that. if you work in an office, sometimes you have to do the walk and talk with your bosses.
Yeah.
Don't even try it.
So you don't get a walk or talk?
No, you get nothing. Silence. If you're reading this, yes, I mean you. So he means this to me as well.
Right.
Everyone, do not take offense to this new way of doing business. It is for the good of my personal life and enjoyment. Thank you all, Steve Harvey.
So what do you make, Marcus? Because I've got my thoughts on this manifesto, but what was your impression of this?
My impression was he is clearly hiring the wrong people, because if it's gotten to the point where he needs to write all this out, because he feels like he's being ambushed by his own team, then he's got the wrong team around him. He needs to hire a team that is not going to be, and this is my theory on this. He's got a team that is starstruck when they see Steve Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
And they are treating him like he's a celebrity instead of treating him like he's their boss. So I think part of that is on him for not hiring the right people who are not professional and who are not used to being around someone of his ilk.
Real quick, do you think the majority of his staff is black or white?
Oh, I bet you 98% black.
Because when you're talking about being starstruck, I'm thinking like, yeah, there's probably like some, I don't want to say young, like not like millennial young, but like mid-20s.
Yeah.
And maybe even late 20s black folk that are just like, I get to work with Steve Harvey every day.
Yeah, he did have to follow up about the letter. And he told E.T., I don't apologize about the letter, but it's kind of crazy what people who took this thing and ran, man. I just didn't want to be in this prison anymore, where I had to be in this little room, scared to go out and take a breath of fresh air without somebody approaching me. So I wrote the letter.
All right. So two things, Marcus. Like I get what he was saying with the letter. I think maybe the wording could have been a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
But I get the point. You know, because like this, and this is apples and oranges a bit, but, you know, I was not on the level of a Steve Harvey. But when I used to be in my band back in the day, and we would go to play places, like a lot of the other guys would like to, you know, kind of mingle with the crowd and some of the other bands before the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, for me, you know, being a lead singer, I had to get in a specific mode to be on stage. And so most times I try to find someplace quiet and just kind of, you know, spend, you know, 15, 20 minutes and get my mind right. And so I could see, you know, you don't, if you're going out to perform, you don't want all these other distractions. So I get it. And so I don't hate on him for the letter on that, but I do think he could have worded it in a better way. But the other thing is, I understand, Marcus, we all have our own crosses to bear, but that's some perspective that I think Steve might be missing when he's talking about his dressing room that has a doorbell, because we've already established that is a prison. And I can't go outside without being fearful of these people ambushing me. I just want my life back.
Well, here's the last paragraph that he probably should have pointed out in the note. So he goes on and say, Harvey explained to E.T. that it was necessary to make the request in order to have any privacy. Quote, I could not find a way to walk from the stage to my dressing room, to sit in my makeup chair, to walk from my dressing room to the stage, or just to sit and have lunch without somebody just walking in, he said. Look, man, I'm in my makeup chair. They walk in the room. I'm having lunch. They walk in. They don't knock. I'm in the hallway. I'm getting ambushed by people with friends. This is the key line. With friends that come to the show and having me sign this and do this. I just said, wait a minute. And in hindsight, I probably should have handled it a little bit differently.
So yeah, that's on the staff then. Because, like, yeah, you got to know... You got to know better.
This sounds like you got a bunch of on your staff and they don't know any better and they're just bringing anyone and everyone to work. And
hey, girl, you want to meet Steve Harvey?
Yeah. Here he is. And Steve's like, who is this?
Like, Steve, say hello to Sheila. Take a picture with him. Because I heard he doesn't even, which is probably smart. I heard he doesn't even take pictures with women without his bodyguards present.
Oh, so he's not set up?
Yeah. I think LeBron does the same thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, you know, like it's actually pretty smart. But yeah, now that the story is unfolded, like I don't fault Steve and for what he wrote. And maybe he had to write it in that way so that it would get through to the staff. But I still think he could have worded things a little bit differently.
Yeah. I mean, that's something you don't write down. You just call a staff meeting and say, hey.
Well, that's the problem, Marcus. He couldn't call a staff meeting because every time he was getting ready to, somebody would just walk in. Like, he probably spent the last three seasons trying to have a staff meeting, but he could never get everybody together because everybody was always coming in and out of the office.
Do better, Steve. Hire better people.
I mean, to be fair, though, Marcus, I give him credit for hiring. Well, we don't even know, but I give Steve credit for hiring the people we assume he hired.
Well, yes.
Now it's up to them to be better.
Yes, do better, Steve Harvey's employees.
You know who you are.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're listening, this means you.
This doesn't happen on Dr. Phil's show. I haven't seen the Dr. Phil memo about, hey, don't talk to me.
Well, I mean, you know, Dr. Phil, he hires a different type of people.
Hey, I applied for a job over there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What would the position have been?
It was a web producer job, but
okay.
Part of the role would have been like basically going to the tapings and then writing like a little report off of the show as it happened.
Like a recap.
Like a recap, yeah.
See, you know what you should have done being a wrestling fan? You should have wrote Dr. Phil reviews like Dave Meltzer writes New Japan reviews. Give the segment stars.
Stars.
Like Dr. Phil's segment with Catch Me Outside Girl, 4 stars. Dr. Phil and Rachel Dozov, 2.5 stars.
Minus 3 stars.
-3 stars. Oh, man. But you know what Steve Harvey should have done, Marcus, in order to bring everybody together?
What's
he
that?
He should have had a meeting and passed out some Little Debbie snack cake, because Little Debbie snack cakes brings everybody together.
They are tasty.
They are. And that brings us to our next story, which was submitted by a listener.
Henry.
Friend of the program, Henry Thompson, our South Carolina correspondent.
Isn't he Dr. Henry Thompson at this point?
Dr. Henry Thompson. Maybe you can get with Henry and start your own, like a Black Dr. Phil show. Although I guess isn't that a Yonla Van Zandt's whole gimmick?
It is.
She's like the Black Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
So, Henry could be the first one with an actual degree. Because I don't think Dr. Phil's a real doctor.
I don't think so either.
And neither is Iyanla. That could be Henry's gimmick. The only TV doctor who's a real doctor.
All right. This story sent over. The headline, owner doesn't think stolen little Debbie cakes is funny.
Which already is funny.
Jonesboro police said a stolen trailer loaded with little Debbie snack cakes has been found. Jonesboro police detectives, or JPD, which is their police department, investigators have been in touch with Mississippi County Sheriff's investigators about the theft. The sheriff's office reported a vehicle was stopped Wednesday night after the trailer was recovered. Excuse me. The 2016 Wells Cargo black enclosed trailer with license plate number AB299, whatever, was reported stolen Wednesday morning from the 3100 block of Mead Drive. Roy Frazier loaded the trailer with about $5,000 worth of snack cakes around 6:30 p.m. Tuesday night. $5,000. He realized it was missing early Wednesday morning. Quote, I just got cold chills and thought, uh-oh, my trailer is gone, Frazier said. I was shocked. He said people made plenty of jokes about having the little Debbie stolen, but Frazier said they don't realize it was serious because it was his job. this poor guy. Frazier said about 10 cases of merchandise and one stainless steel fold-over dolly worth about $300 were missing from the trailer. He said he is blessed, though, that he got most of it back.
Again, it's the running theme of the show, Marcus. Without law in this land, people can do what they want, including jacking little Debbie snack cakes. All right, Marcus, I know you wouldn't steal, so let's just kind of create a hypothetical situation. Mm-hmm. If you were to be a crook and you could steal little Debbie snack cakes, what variety would be your first target?
Swiss rolls are always solid.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. The oatmeal cream pies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at the oatmeal cream pies. I think my two favorite Little Debbie concoctions are probably, I like the zebra cakes, and I like the cosmic brownies. The brownies with like the little M&M pieces in it.
Mm-hmm.
And they got like the Little Debbie honey buns are solid too.
Zebra cakes are good.
Little Debbie's got a, like, I don't know, Marcus. Little Debbie to me is like, who would be somebody in sports or in wrestling or in pop culture in general that's like not a superstar, but they almost always consistently good. Like, they're not the first person you call.
They're Chris Jericho of the dessert market.
Okay. Yeah, they're like the first person that comes to mind, but you're like, oh yeah, he's good at everything.
He's good at everything. He's got a long track record. Yeah. Right, Little Debbie's.
Yeah, Little Debbie, as opposed to, you know, they're not a flash in the pan, a one-hit wonder like somebody like Dolly Madison, who all Dolly Madison got is the Zingers, which are just Twinkies with frosting on top. You're not fooling anybody at Dolly Madison Bakery. I think Little Debbie's are also a little bit more grounded. They're more down to earth. Like, they're not highfalutin like Intimans.
Oh, don't you talk about Intimans.
I'm saying the Intimans are good, right? But you just look at the side of the box with the horse and the carriage. And since 1908, Intimans Bakery, like, they take themselves a little too seriously. Little Debbie's just like, hey, we got the little fake Shirley Temple on the front. I guess that's Little Debbie. Enjoy. It's candy. It's chocolate. Ooh, what do we have here? All right, Marcus, this might be a first on the Kings of Sport.
Uh-huh.
But I am going to read something from Jezebel.
Okay.
I think this might be a first in my life. I've never frequented this site. But Jezebel, somebody, I don't know who is this, C.A. Pinkham, Little Debbie Snack Food Rankings. And I guess he or she took the time of ranking all the Little Debbie snacks that are available from the worst to the best. And first of all, guess how many varieties there are of Little Debbie snacks?
Oh, this had to be at least like 50, right?
No. I would have thought so, too.
Less? How many?
Less.
20?
35.
Okay.
So, yeah, I thought they would have had more, but again, that speaks to Little Debbie. You know, they're not trying to do too much. The worst Little Debbie snack cake offering are the Banana Twins.
I don't think I've seen those.
I don't know if you've ever seen it. Yeah, the Banana Twins, it looks like two wafers with banana cream in the middle.
Mm.
Which, yeah. Let's see. Let's go down the list. All right. The Cheese Danish comes in at number 29. A strong showing. My Cosmic Brownies are at number 27, Marcus, which I think is a little low.
Mm.
And Swiss Rolls at number 26.
Which I think controversial.
Immediately. Whoa. This invalidates this list.
I don't know. That's at the top.
She got 10. Fig bars. She's got fig bars ranked higher than the Swiss cake rolls.
Mm.
Let's see. What's her top five or his top five? Damn, zebra cakes didn't even make the top 10. Zebra cakes are number 14, right behind fudge rounds, which are also good.
Honey buns have to all be right in there, right?
All right, your top five are Little Debbie Donut Sticks, which are, yeah, I'm not mad at them for the donut sticks. Number four, Cinnamon Streusel Cakes.
All right, those are good.
Number three, Honey Buns. Okay, I'm down with that. Number two, Star Crunch. I was never a fan of Star Crunch. What about you, Marcus?
No. And that was number two, you said?
That's number two on the list.
Hmm.
Number one, according to this, I was going to say anonymous, but they've got their name attached to it. According to this random writer on Jezebel, the number one Little Debbie snack, pecan spin wheels.
Huh.
Which aren't, they're not bad, but I don't even know if I'd have them in my top 10.
Yeah, this is an invalid list here.
Yeah, it's when you got the fig bars in your top 20.
Yeah, that should be
a little
last.
Suspect. Yeah. So that is her or his Little Debbie list. But yeah, like I think, man, Little Debbie is they to me, there's certain hood snacks, Marcus, and I don't mean snacks that, you know, are just available in the hood or snacks that, you know, just black and brown folk eat, but they're foods that I guess are synonymous with growing up in these type of areas. Little Debbie is down with it.
Little Debbie and a quarter water, man. That's
quarter
like
water.
It's a 1-2 combination for diabetes. And
every now and then you had a little extra pocket change. You get the Hostess fruit prize.
Mm-hmm.
Were you a fan of the Hostess fruit pies?
Not really. I'm not a bit pie person in general.
Ah, see? I could have gone somewhere with The Rock and said, oh, you like strudel? But we're not here for that this week. But yeah, so I'm glad everything turned out okay in that case, Marcus. And yeah, maybe we'll, since we never, since Brian and I never did snack time on Keep It 100, we might have to steal it for the Kings of Sport. Just every now and then, just talk about snacks.
I love me a good snack, so I'm down.
In addition to burgers, so this, Marcus doesn't realize it, people, but this is actually my secret plan to bulk him up.
Yeah, my I keep one eye on my weight now these days, just to make sure.
every time that scale ticks up, he's like,
"Damn it,
damn it, damn it, Holsteins!" So, when's the last time you had a burger? Was it did you have one in Hawaii?
I had two in Hawaii. One was at the hotel. They had like a not a bar. It wasn't bar. It was like a just a your generic hotel restaurant.
Yeah.
Overpriced food, underwhelming burger. And then the second burger I had was at the mall. They had a food court, and I forgot the name of the place, but it had a Hawaiian name that I butchered. And the burger was good. It reminded me, and this is going to be really specific, it reminded me of the kind of burger you would find at your local college pub in terms of the taste.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Or at least reminded me of a burger that you would find at Hofstra at the cafeteria area. So,
okay.
It was fine. It was not worth talking about on the show in terms of an actual review, but that was the last, that was a couple weeks ago, it was the last time I had a burger, so I'm due.
Okay. Real quick before we get out of here, like one of the, I won't say best because it was so long ago that I, you know, my memory might have inflated it, but one of the most memorable burgers I ever had was probably when I was about 12 or 13, and we were going to visit relatives during the summer. And we stayed at a Days Inn, and they had like a little restaurant connected to the Days Inn that like was not, it wasn't a Days Inn restaurant, but like all of the signage and all the logos and the napkins had the little Days Inn sun on it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you went to the Days Inn, they're like, family dining, try whatever this place was called. Like try Joe's. It's the best, which was a blatant lie. It was an alternative fact. So we went there. We went there because I guess, my, you know, Pops had been driving for like 10 hours or whatever, you know, one of them Texas trips. And so he's like, yeah, let's just eat at the hotel restaurant. So we go in there, and it's me and my mom, my dad, and my sister, and we just there and in order. And I get the burger. The burger was okay. It was, you know, it was what it was. But what made this place so memorable was the setting, because the only people, and granted, this is me at 12 or 13, so I don't know how accurate these descriptions were, but the only people that were in the bar or in the restaurant were my family, two guys that were part of the cleaning crew for Days Inn, and a woman that I think was a lady of the night.
Oh, she got eight too.
Because, and I don't know if that's what she was or not. Maybe she just had like late 80s, early 90s hair. But she looked like Julia Roberts on Pretty Woman to me. So I don't know, like I just know all she did was drink coffee, and it was like 8 o'clock at night, and she just drank coffee for like an hour.
She was getting ready for her showtime.
I would have gone over and talked to her, but maybe, you know, I didn't want a Steve Harvey situation. She's like, "Don't ambush me."
Yeah, where's your money, kid?
Where's your money, kid? If you're listening, this means you. But on that note, on the note of prostitutes, we're going to call it a show, Marcus. Where can the people hit you up if they want to talk to you about burgers or this exciting Yankees game you're watching today?
Yes, 8-0 Astros. You can find me on social media at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
And you can find me in the number 8, MOZAIK, at Nate Mosaic. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheKingsOfSport. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and Podcast Addict, or wherever you get your podcast from. And while you're there, be sure to rate, review, and most importantly, share the show with your friends. And let's see. I guess what we're going to do, Marcus, is we'll end the show, and then we'll just kind of, again, cede our time to a guest, and that'll be the one and only Mr. T celebrating his love for mothers. So if you want to send a shout-out to your moms, go ahead and do it now, and we can call this a week.
Yes, happy Mother's Day to my mom, who I saw earlier today. Yeah, that's it. I can't top Mr. T's, performance here, so...
Yeah, we got to keep it brief. So, happy Mother's Day to my mother as well. And happy Mother's Day to all the mothers listening. And if you're listening now and you forgot to call your mom or send your mom a card, you probably should hurry.
Yeah, you're probably out of time at this point.
Probably out of time. So, try to be a better child next year.
Do better.
Do like the Steve Harvey staff and improve your life. So that'll do it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. We'll be back next week talking NBA and whatever ratchetness and foolishness pops up in this crazy world. So be sure to check us out. Same time, same place for another edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. And so, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. On President's Day, it was Mother's Day. On Arbor Day, it was Mother's Day. On Labor Day, it was Mother's Day. And you know what, Marcus? On Father's Day, it was Mother's Day. So treat your mother right, because you've been down with the Kings. Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Just left.